open it to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, if you would. Joshua chapter 5, and we'll spend a little bit of time hearing the word of God. Hopefully be a blessing to you, and God will use it to speak to you. Joshua chapter 5. Boom, boom, boom. Turn me up a little bit, brother. I don't care if we blast them out over the airways, all right? Just give me, starting to hear a little bit, all right? Monitor's not working right. All right, well, it's Baptist. Baptist people get cranky sometimes, you know. Baptist things get cranky, so that's for sure. All right, Joshua chapter 5, all right? Joshua chapter 5. Yeah, brother, turn me up. If y'all got anything more, you can give me some extra juice. Do it, if you would. I like to hear myself. Because if I can hear me, I figure you can, all right? It didn't sound real good when I said I like to hear myself. I don't want you to get the wrong idea about that. But if I can hear me, I figure you can hear me, okay? All right, Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 13. The Bible said, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And now, these verses, obviously, if you're not aware of it, that captain of the Lord's host is a I don't even know what they say. There's a fancy term for it, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ showing up on the earth before he was born to Mary, okay? Because our Savior has always been around, all right? He's eternal. He didn't just get a beginning at Bethlehem in the manger, all right? He is eternal and is the eternal God, and this is him. He showed up at this time, and he was there with Joshua, and there are some lessons for us to take a look at. There's lessons for us to learn. Joshua was a warrior. He was a leader of warfare, and the Bible says that we're to be good soldiers. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're to war a good warfare. And in order to do that, I think it's real important we know how to interact with our captain, all right? Now, I just want to preach to you a little bit tonight about Joshua and his captain, all right? First thing I want you to see is location is important. Location is important. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, look, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua saw what he saw because of where he was. He wasn't back in his tent, all right? He wasn't back in his tent. He wasn't back there with the rest of his army. He wasn't plotting strategy, all right? He was out, I believe, taking a look at the objective. They were out to conquer Jericho. I can't help but think that maybe here he is. He was seeking ideas, seeking strategy for taking the city of Jericho. Maybe he had already laid out his plans, maybe already had his ideas. But I believe he's out here. He's about, out and about. He's looking and looking to find help, maybe for ideas. Now, I don't think he was expecting to meet the Lord that night, but he was where he was, and it's important to be where you need to be, all right? For you to meet the Lord, it's important for you to be where you ought to be. I believe some folks miss what God has for them because they're not where they should be. They're just not where they ought to be. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 24. I'll give you an example, all right? Genesis chapter 24, here's the servant of Abraham, and he's seeking a bride for Isaac, okay? Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I wouldn't want to have been the guy that's out seeking for a bride for my master's son. I don't think I'd have enjoyed that. And that's not a job I would have raised my hand and said, I'll be happy to do that. Man, can you imagine all the ramifications that could come about? Well, notice what the Bible says about him in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I," here it is, "being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." He said, "I was out and about doing what I was supposed to be. I was going in the way I was supposed to go. And because I was, the Lord led me. The Lord led me." He was involved in it. Why? Well, he was in the right place. He was in the right place. He was where he should have been, doing what he should have been doing. Let me give you another example. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, if you will. I'm going to look at one verse there. Look at verse 10. Revelation 1, verse 10. We'll start in verse 9, all right? Verse 9. Revelation 1, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Now notice, he was where? You say, "Well, preacher, he wasn't there by his own accord. He was sent there." I know that. They shipped him out there. But notice the Bible says in verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Hey, he was right where he should have been. He was in the right attitude, and he was right there where he ought to have been. And because he was, look what God gave him. And God gave him the book of Revelation. And he's written it out for us, and we sit here hundreds and hundreds of years later, we have the privilege of reading it. Why? Because he got what the Lord had for him because he was where he was supposed to be, all right? He was ready for that. One more example. If you will, look in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want you to look just at a few verses right here. 1 Kings chapter 17. Once again, it pays to be where you're supposed to be, all right? 1 Kings chapter 17, look if you will in verse 3. Verse 2 we'll start. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," now that him is Elijah. "So the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Why? Because he's where he's supposed to be. Is where he's supposed to be. Listen, if he'd have gone to a different place, he'd have missed his meals. But he was where God wanted him to be. He's where God told him to be. He went, he showed up, he stayed there, and God said, "Okay, if you're there, that's where I'm sending the food." You know, I wonder how many times we miss a meal because we're not where God wants us to be. Now, I'll be honest with you. No, I'm not talking about fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy, all right? I'm talking about food from God himself. I wonder how many times we miss a wonderful meal, a spiritual meal that would have helped us, but we weren't there where God wanted us to be. We weren't involved in the work God wanted us to be involved in. Instead, we're out somewhere else instead of where we ought to be. Hey, location's important. I'll say this to you. I believe some people never meet the captain because they're not where they ought to be. Just not where they ought to be. Joshua gives us an example. He was out and about looking, and boy, he met up with the captain of the Lord's host. Now, second thing I want you to see, there was a little bit of confusion. A little bit of confusion. You see there that Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us and for our adversaries?" Joshua's out. He looks up. He sees this man standing there with a drawn sword. Now, Joshua would have recognized his own soldiers, right? Surely he would have recognized his own soldiers. So he sees this man standing there. He didn't recognize him. And the Bible said he didn't hold back. He didn't sit back. He went to him. I can't help but believe he went with his hand on the sword, though. I just believe he went with his hand on his sword, and because he was prepared to do whatever he needed to do. He was prepared to fellowship or fight. It didn't matter, whichever one needed, all right? So he asked that question. He said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, today, that question is, are you friend or foe? Friend or foe, where are you? Where do you stand, all right? Hey, in your time of war, question needs to be asked, and it needs to be answered. We need to know who's on our side, who's against us, who's the enemy. We need to examine to see who it is we're dealing with. Don't just make an assumption. Don't just make an assumption. I made a terrible assumption one time. I was out knocking doors, and I saw these folks coming, and it looked like they were doing what we were doing. And so I met them, and I spoke, and they said, hey, how you doing? I said, good. He said, what are you up to? They asked me. I said, well, I think I'm doing the same thing you are. Dead wrong. Dead wrong. Man, was ever wrong. They were Jehovah's false witness. They didn't have their satchel, didn't have all their pamphlets and papers, you know. Man, did I ever make a wrong assumption. What a wrong guess to make. You got to be careful about assuming things. There was another day, I up until this time, I had no idea. The only Mormon folks I had ever seen were men, ever. And that's all I'd ever seen out. And we were at a house one day, a folk, ladies, a member of the church, we'd helped her move. We were sitting there just relaxing. These two ladies came up to the door and dressed very nice, very modestly. And boy, that was a good thing, by the way. That is a good thing. A good testimony, but only thing is, testimony to the wrong God. And I assume, well, hey, they're going to witness to us, or they're going to invite us to church. Wrong. Wrong. Hey, you got to be careful. We can't just make an assumption. We can't just take too much for granted, all right? We need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful. We need to identify that folks out there. Hey, are you with us? Are you against us? Are you friend or foe? Are you on our side or are you for the enemy? Where are you at? There was that little bit of confusion, but I want you to know, once Joshua saw who it was and knew who it was, Joshua listened. He listened. Notice what he said there, all right? He said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, the first thing he did, he showed the respect, should have been shown, and immediately worshiped. I believe Joshua fell on his face before the Lord. I believe that with all my life. He didn't ask for his autograph. He didn't want to take a selfie with him. You said, preacher, they didn't do that in that day. Well, I'm talking about today. What would we do? People, man, so dumb, so spiritually ignorant. I think, well, could we get? No, that's not what he asked for. That wasn't it at all. Man, he hid his face. He worshiped the Lord. He worshiped this one. You know, I'll tell you this, that's going to be our reaction when we meet our captain one day. We meet our captain. I love to hear people say, I just want to tell you, when I get to heaven, I've got some questions I'm going to ask. I said, you ain't going to be interested in them questions when you first get there. Yeah, that's going to be the furthest thing in your mind. I believe when we see the Lord, the Bible said, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, I believe that's what we'll do. I believe we meet him, we're going to worship him. We stand in his presence. The first time we won't find ourselves standing very long. We'll be on our face before him. There's not going to be questions. Not going to be a lot of questions. Those are not going to be important anymore. We're going to realize we're in the presence of our Savior. We're in the presence of our captain. And Joshua, he did that. But then he said, what saith? What saith the Lord? Why? He was ready to listen. He was ready to listen. He was interested. He had a desire to know, Lord, what do you want? What is it you have to tell me, all right? Boy, how much better off we'd be if that was our attitude. That was our attitude totally, all right? If we had the attitude on to listen to see what God wants to tell us. I want to know. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God's got for me. When I open my Bible, I want to know what God's got for me that day, that time. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear from him. If I go to hear preaching, I go to hear preaching because I want to see what God's got for me. One of the good things about the internet is you can get preaching 24 hours a day. Now, you need to be careful who you listen to, all right? But, man, I've got where I've listened to old Brother Tony Hudson. Brother Tony Hudson is, I guess you'd say, a camp meeting type preacher. And he can be a bit of a windsucker. Do y'all know what that is? All right? All right, Brother Poe does. All right, he comes from that neck of the woods, and Brother Oftedal does. You say, what is it? I can't adequately describe it. It's a guy, when he's preaching, he goes along and says, all right, every now and then he sucks it in, all right, and therefore you get that. You say, what? Hey, I like it. I like to hear him guy preach, all right? I enjoy that. I've really thought about seeing if I can get Brother Hudson to come preach for us a little bit. I'd love to have him come, may try to do that. Hey, but hey, I've got that opportunity. When I can, I plug in. I want to hear something. I want to get something from God. I want that to happen. Hey, we get too busy. We get too consumed with our own situations. We get our own plans and our own desires, and they consume us. If we're not careful, we get to the point where we really don't listen to what God says. I worry sometimes people come to church, and we've got all these cares. We've got all these concerns. We've got all these burdens. And we're there thinking about all that instead of tuning in, Lord, what have you got for me? What have you got for me? And I stand here, realize, as your pastor, and I preach to you, I realize that every one of you don't need everything I say to you every service. Now, you will at some point. But man, if we listen in, if we don't listen, we miss that one thing we need. We miss it. That one thing maybe we need the most. Why? We get distracted. We get distracted. Somebody over here is doing something, and we look at them. That's why, man, you know, go to the bathroom, get a drink of water before church starts. Now, I realize in the middle of the service you could get sick. I understand that. But, man, so many times I see people get up and go out, and they go to the water fountain. They don't stay at the water fountain long enough to wet their entire tongue. And then they come back in. I'm going, you weren't thirsty. They're like kids at school. Kids at school, raise their flag. I say, what you need? Can I get a drink of water? No, you'll be all right. We're going to have a break in a little bit. Please? No, we'll be. Just wait. Break time comes, they shoot out, miss the water fountain. They're outside 15 minutes. Come in, break's over. Come in, sit down, raise your flag. Can I go get a drink of water? Man, you don't know what thirsty is, okay? You know, I think that's a problem. We get distracted by everything. We get distracted. Therefore, we find ourselves not listening. Not listening. Here's Joshua. Joshua's on the verge of his first military action in Canaan. It was coming the next day. But he took time. He took time to listen to his captain. Can I just say this? We all need to take that time. We all need to take that time. Let's never be too busy or too perturbed or whatever to listen to the captain. He listened. He listened. Next thing I want you to see is not only did he listen, but he learned. He learned. You said, well, of course he did. He listened. I know a lot of people listen that don't learn. They listen, but they don't learn. I heard what you said, but no, I didn't learn anything. You have to have a desire. You have to have a desire. Once again, I'll use an illustration from our school, okay? I use an illustration from our school. Kids come in school, and they said, I need some help. I say, okay, let me help you. So I'm over here explaining. I look out the corner of my eye, and I see that person looking for help there. Now, I'll tell you, if you ever hear the preacher has been arrested because he struck a child in school, you're going to know that was the situation. And you just want to smack him. You came over here and asked for help. Now you're... That's your friend. Now, and you quit talking, and it takes him a minute to go. You're not saying anything. Well, why should I? You're not really paying attention. Hey, I'm afraid that way is a lot of people. A lot of people listen, but they don't learn. They don't learn. One thing Joshua learned, he learned where he was standing was holy. It was holy ground. I'll tell you this, I believe it's always holy ground wherever you are when you meet the captain. I don't care where it is. It may be here in the house of God. Maybe here, holy ground, all right? It may be at your house. It may be sitting in that easy chair you sit in. It may be sitting on the couch there, all right? Wherever you are with an open Bible and the right spirit, you can find yourself on holy ground, all right? It ought to be that way. When you meet the Lord, it's that kind of situation, all right? Now, there doesn't have to be a glow, and the bush don't have to be on fire, all right? It's a little more comforting to you if you look up and the coffee table's on fire and not being consumed. It'd probably scare you, all right? You wouldn't think, man, I'm on holy ground. You'd say, call the fire department, right? I tell you what, sometimes we find ourselves on holy ground, even if the Lord's there, we are when he's speaking. And boy, when he's speaking to us, when he's opening up. Now listen, I'm not talking about, and I know he spoke to Joshua in an audible voice. Joshua saw the Lord. You and I are not going to see him that way. And it's not going to be an audible voice. But when he speaks to you out of this book, and he opens up this book to you, boy, that's holy ground. That's holy ground. And Joshua took advantage of it. He learned. He learned. You say, what did he learn? Well, he learned how to handle the campaign to conquer Canaan. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. When did this start? This wasn't another conversation. This is still going on at the end of chapter 5, all right? And in verse 4 he says, in verse 3, and ye shall encompass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, this shall ye do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. That's the battle plan. That's the battle plan. Joshua learned it. Joshua got that. I've got a feeling Joshua hadn't planned to do it that way. I don't know what his plans were. The Bible doesn't tell us what Joshua had decided to do. But, I mean, here he is. There's never been a campaign like that one. Had never been before. There hasn't been one since. But the Lord outlined it for him, and he said, look, you take this. He learned that his captain had it all figured out, and he was going to take care of the situation without losing a single man in combat. God had it figured out. You know what? Sometimes we'd listen, we'd find out God's got it all figured out for us too. He's got it all figured out. We're sitting here sweating it, worrying about it, but he's got it figured out. He's got it all under control. Hey, now, the sad truth is that we find so many professing Christians today that claim to be listening to God, but they don't seem to be learning anything. Don't seem to be learning anything. I remember years teaching teenagers, working with them Sunday after Sunday, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them what the Bible said, how they ought to live, what they ought to do, and over and over and over again having to deal with the same problem in the same teenager. Say, why? They weren't learning anything. They weren't learning anything. Now, they could have been listening, but they weren't learning anything. We see so many people like that today. There's no evidence they're following our captain's commands. There's nothing there. They're not winning the war with the world, the flesh, or the devil. Why? Well, because we're not learning. We're not learning. We're there, but we're not learning. We're listening, but we just file it away as information to be used one day when we're on a Bible quiz show, I guess. Because, man, it doesn't seem to be anything's happening. People are not being changed, all right? Look, the Word of God, if you take it and learn it, it'll change you. It'll change you. It will start on the inside of you and produce an outside difference that the world can't figure out. They can't see it. They'll never understand it. Why? Because it's the work of God in you. Why? Because I listened to the captain. I learned what he had to say. The last thing I want you to see this evening. Look, if you will, back in chapter 5. Hey, there it is. Things have come to life. Look in chapter 5, would you? Brother Blanton's back there going, I didn't do anything. It just started doing, okay? Look in chapter 5, verse 15. Are you there? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Would you look at the next four words? And Joshua said, let me pray about it. No, he didn't say that. The Bible said, and Joshua did so. Joshua did so. You back there in Joshua chapter 6. Now remember, in Joshua chapter 6, in verse 3, 4, and 5, God outlined the battle plan. He outlined the battle plan. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Un called the priests and said unto them, you know what? He did exactly what God said to do right then. There was no delay in obeying the commands he was given. There was absolutely no delay. He heard, this is what you're supposed to do. Immediately, he did it. Hey, take your shoes off, place where you stand, home. He did it. All right, I'm giving you the battle plan. I wonder if he even put his shoes back on, all right? You think about it. Did he even put his shoes back on or just pick them up and ran down there and said, got the priest. All right, guys, get together. Here's what we're going to do. Line the army up. We're going to march around the city once today, and that'll be it. I don't know, but boys, immediate. Hey, whatever his instructions were, take off your shoes or circle the city, he immediately did it. Look, he leaped to obey the command of God. What a wonderful lesson. What a wonderful lesson for us. We ought to go from speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, to I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now. I'll never forget my dad for years and years and years. He taught myself and my brother. He said, obedience is right now. When you're told to do it, you do it. I remember one instance in my life, he told me something, and I kind of sat there for just a little too long. And it wasn't very long. Man, and all of a sudden, bam, I felt this sting. He said, he assaulted you? No, he slapped me upside the head, all right? Why? Because he was saying, I need to get your attention, boy. I told you to do something. You're not doing it. Now, we ought not to make our captain slap us upside the head. We ought to just do what he says, all right? We ought to leap to obey him. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it right now. Right now. Not one of these deals, well, okay, Lord, just as soon as I can go back, I need to go back to camp and get a little rest before we get. No. It was, hey, he went down there. He went to the priest. He said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Hey, he immediately went about telling them, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Now, I once again, in my mind, I'm standing here and wondering, hey, had he already told his the guys that were under him, had he already given them a plan of action? Had he already laid something out? I don't know. I don't know if he had or not. If he had, though, he didn't say, hey, fellas, scrap those plans. He just said, here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do today. And he had it from God, and he said, we're going to do what God says. We're just going to do what God says. Here he is. That's Joshua and his captain. Now, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. All right? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, look, if you will, one verse. All right, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now you go back to verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus. Jesus. I just want to say to you, Joshua's captain of the Lord host is the captain of our salvation. There's no difference. It's the same one, all right? They're the same one. He is the one we are to worship. He is the one we're to listen to. He is the one we're to learn from, and he is the one we ought to leap to obey. Now, there shouldn't be any confusion about it. In this world today, there's a lot of people confused about who Jesus Christ is. I mentioned to you the Jehovah's false witness. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who he is. You waste your time with them if they won't listen to what the Word of God says. Now, not the New World Translation, but this book right here. If they won't listen to that, you're wasting your time. You can't help them. They don't know who Jesus is because they do not believe he is the Lord, all right? They don't believe that. So they don't know it. I mentioned the Mormons. The Mormons don't know who Jesus is. The Jesus they talk about is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Not at all. Not a bit. Not even close. Their Jesus, they say, is the brother to Lucifer. Well, find that in your Bible. You'll never find it there, all right? You'll never find it there. So what are you saying? I'm saying, don't you be confused about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. We ought to listen to him. We need to learn from him. We need to leap to obey him. Leap to him. We shouldn't have to wait. We shouldn't have to be drug along. We shouldn't have to, you ought not to have to be beaten to get you to do what he says. Don't be like I was with my dad, make him slap me upside the head to get me to do what he said. Learn to just do what he says. Hey, by the way, I learned to do what dad said. Now, I tell you, I believe sometimes the Lord's worked me over, so I've learned to do what he said, too. Could you learn from me and Joshua? Don't wait and let the Lord have to smack you one. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? We come, Lord, to the time of the invitation. We come, Lord, where we're going to take a little time to consider what we've heard tonight and, Lord, to examine our own heart, our own life. Lord, there may be something right there we needed, something that'll help.